travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand, it is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, each Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea. O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I know he'll meet me there. Precious Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be wholly thine, and sing redemption song one day. I will be a soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim, toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest. If I a crown of life have won, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Miss Cavanis. And boy, isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to let go of your hand. Aren't you glad that salvation is not dependent upon you, you holding on to Him? Hey, it's all about Him holding on to you, because He's never going to lose His grip. I promise you. Never will. Well, take your Bible. We need to move on in the service tonight. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want to preach to you tonight, church, on the subject that I think is essential as we approach Friend Day, the biggest day that we have all year long here in our church. You know, we can do all the work that we want. We can invite all the people that we want. Hello? I know it's not mine, so... But we can invite all the people we want. We can pass out all the flyers we want. But you listen to me. If we don't get involved in prayer for Sunday, it ain't happening. So I want to preach to you tonight about the power of participating in prayer. Y'all do believe prayer changes things, don't you? Y'all, everybody in agreement that God's all for prayer and communicating with the people of God? Absolutely He is. He's absolutely in tune with that. 1 John 5, verse 14. Would you stand with me, please? And I'm going to read you a verse out of Luke 18 in just a moment. But 1 John 5, verse number 14 and 15 for our text tonight. The Scripture says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will..." Now stop, let me ask you this. God willing that people be saved? What are we trying to do Sunday? Trying to get people saved, right? So are we okay to pray that people be saved? Would we be praying in the will of God? All right, now notice what He says. He said, we have this confidence that in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, folks, I don't know if you understand what John is saying here. But what he's saying is, you know what? If we're praying according to the will of God, you can pray and expect something to happen. Because God wants something to happen. He's for people being saved. He's for people getting their lives right. He's for people getting involved in the church of the living God. Let me read you one verse. You don't have to turn there in Luke chapter 18. Jesus speaking here says this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I want to take these verses tonight and talk to you about the power of participating in prayer. Now, Father, would you bless us? It's so important, this subject tonight, because, Lord, in my opinion, it's probably one of the weakest areas of all of our Christian lives. And that is that conduit of prayer and communicating with God and getting a hold of heaven so that, Lord, that we can see the power of God come down in such a way Sunday, maybe like we've never seen before. And so we pray even so, Lord God, that You'd have Your will and Your way, not tonight, but Sunday as well. And then, Lord, would You use what shall be preached tonight and stir us in this area of getting involved in participating in prayer for this big day, and we'll give You the glory in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, let me say again that I feel that the weakest part of our believers, of our life, of a believer's life, and the church's productivity is our lack of participating in prayer. Now, it's not that we don't want to pray, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's not that we don't want to pray. It's just that we just somehow, for some reason, just can't seem to find time to pray. Now let me say this. You say, "Preacher, I'm just too busy." Well, you listen to me. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to communicate with God, then you know what? We're way too busy. Listen, we've got to make time to contact the Lord and get a hold of heaven. Yet prayer was deemed by Jesus as one of the most important ingredients within the believer's life and within the ministry of the church. Over 544 times, I should say, the word prayer or a form of the word prayer is used in Scripture. Now, folks, listen. If God says it one time, we ought to do it. If He says it two times, He must have some emphasis on it. But if He says it 544 times, you think it might be important? All right, it's important. And so for us to deem it not important and not participate in it is an insult to God. Because He said it is important and we need to be participating in it. Now, I want to see the people of God here at our church that make up the membership of this church grow beyond the idea that prayer is only to be participated in or practiced in cases of an emergency. Or just when I need something. But isn't it amazing how we find ourselves that's about the only time that we really get serious about prayer is in a case of an emergency or when I need something from God. What I'd like to do is see our folks get beyond and grow beyond the mentality that we do not need to pray Since God already knows everything that we need. You ever heard somebody say that? Why do we pray? God already knows everything. The problem is you don't know everything. And see, the thing about it is that prayer is not for God's sake, it's for your sake. It's for us and our communication with the Lord. See, God already, He does know the heart. He does know the mind before we ask. And He does already know all of these things before we ask them. But may I remind you that prayer was never designed to inform God of things He already knows. Prayer was designed as a gift to the believer so that we could communicate with a holy God. And that it could be a refuge where we could pour our heart out, because ultimately God is the only one that has the answers. Folks, listen to me. We can do everything that we want, humanly speaking, but if we don't get God involved in Sunday, it's not going to be what we desire it to be. God wants to be a part of Sunday. He wants to be a part of Friend Day. You know why? Because He wants the glory. And if we're willing to surrender and give Him the glory, you know what He'll do? He'll meet with us on Sunday. You see, no Christian is better than his prayer life. You see, our human efforts are absolutely, church, useless without prayer. Prayer is that medium by which we lay hold on the power and the promises of God. Hey, prayer is the powerhouse. It's the thing that ignites the church. It's the thing that thrusts the church forward. I asked you a while ago, do you believe prayer changes things? Let me give you some illustrations in Scripture and examples of the power of prayer and change. Remember in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon had concluded the building of the temple. And they brought the ark of the temple and set it in its place. And Solomon fell on his face and prayed before God. And he prayed, and after he prayed, the Scripture says, he got up to his feet, and the power of God came upon that place. God filled the entire house, and it was so strong, His presence was so felt, the Levites couldn't even participate in ministry because the power of God was so strong. You know what brought it down? Prayer. Prayer brought the power of God and the Shekinah glory of God down. May I remind you in 1 Kings chapter 18, remember Elijah who brought together all the prophets of Baal? Said, call on your God, we'll find out. If your God answers by fire, then He's God. But if my God answers by fire, then He's God. And so he said, you go ahead, I tell you what, I'll give you the benefit, I'll let you go first. So he let the prophets of Baal go first, and they did everything. They whined and cried and cut themselves, threw themselves on the altar. Now, the thing about it is I like Elijah because he knew they were false prophets, so he kind of poked at them a little bit. Huh, where is he? Perchance he's on vacation. Reckon he's away on a trip? Or maybe perhaps he's asleep and he can't hear you. Because he kind of poked at them a little bit. You know why he could do that? Because their God had never answered. His God he had seen answer. And he knew his God was going to answer. So he built his altar, sacrificed his bullocks, poured water on there 3 different times, and then he prayed a very short little prayer. And you know what happened? The fire of God came down from heaven and consumed the altar and licked up all the water around the trench. And you know what everybody said? He's God. You know what I want everybody to say when they walk out of here Sunday? He's God. He's God. Man alive, He's God. I've never seen what He's done in a service and people saved and people repenting and getting right. Folks, don't you have a burning desire to see that? I desire to see God be God and the people of God say, you know what? He's God. He's God. I saw it today. I saw the fire of God come down. May I also remind you in Acts chapter 4 when the church was gathered together in one place and they were one heart, one soul, one mind. The Bible says they prayed and the place where they prayed was shaken. It was shaken. Why? Because of prayer. And they were all, the Bible says, filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know what brought all that on? Prayer. Prayer. Communicating with God. Listen, prayer will change the prayer as well as the circumstances. You see, the thing about it is what we do is we when we pray, we want God to change the circumstances. Prayer does more than change the circumstances. It changes the prayer. The person praying and getting a hold of God. You see, why would we wait to participate in prayer until the 11th hour? Why would we wait till Saturday at midnight to pray? That's the reason we have a prayer sheet out there. Why? We want people to be praying around the clock, getting a hold of God. Why would we not choose to be on praying ground with God on a daily basis rather than wait till we need special attention? Now, folks, let me tell you something. I've been through a lot of crisis in life, and you've been through a lot of crisis in life. Just seems like, you know, have you ever wondered that the old life here on earth as we sojourn, we just kind of jump from one crisis to the next? Just kind of seems to work that way, doesn't it? But may I say to you, when those crises come, I want to be on praying ground. I don't want to have to go and get right with everything that I've done and sinned against God for the last 6 years so that I can get on praying ground. I want to be right with God so when that crisis comes, I can say, Lord, You've always been good to me. You've always cared for me. And you know what? I promise you, those prayers will make a big difference. Now, let me just say this and I'll move on. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, if you'll remember in Matthew chapter 6, He taught His disciples to pray. It is what is called the model prayer. And it was designed to be prayed on a daily basis. You say, how do I know that? Because in Scripture, when His disciples, He told them to pray, He said, pray this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Now here's how I know that it was a daily prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say our weekly bread, our monthly bread, so it sounds to me like He expects prayer to take place every day. Is that right? It sounds to me like that He just anticipates that since He saved us from hell, the least we could do is actually talk to Him and actually thank Him and actually communicate with Him. I mean, it's the least we could do. By the way, if it wasn't for Jesus, where would you be tonight? Yeah, where would you be? If it wasn't for Christ and His love, how would you be? What would you have tonight? If you're like me, you'd probably be messed up and have nothing. You know why? Because the grace of God. And probably you and I are here tonight saved and in church as a result of somebody praying for you and cared for your soul. You see, there's just some things that Jesus instructed that they just need to be going on a daily basis. Now, I don't believe that it's the content of prayer that we don't understand. I don't think it's the content. I think what we hadn't gotten a hold of is the importance of the participation in prayer. It's not that we don't know that it's the right thing to do. We do know that. We just don't understand that we need to be participating in it, and the Lord God expects us to be participating in that. Now, folks, let me say something, and I'm going to give you three things real quick, and we'll end up here. Mamas and daddies, wouldn't you think it would be quite odd if your child never spoke to you? And you spoke to them, and they just looked at you, and you ever seen kids say, what are you into? Where you been? You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like some of the kids in school. You know what I'm talking about? The only language they got is shoulder language. Now, let me ask you this. What if God spoke and all He got from us is, Let me tell you something. Do you know that's basically what God's getting from about 85% of Christianity around the world? You see, I wonder, folks, I wonder if our church got lined up with the church in the book of Acts, I wonder if God shake this place Sunday. I wonder if God would shake this. Listen now, I believe in this God of yesterday, today, and forever, right?
I believe He's the same. I don't believe He's changed. He's the same God of Pentecost and Acts 4 and Acts 5 as He is 2011. And I believe that God wants to shake this place on Sunday, but it's not going to happen if we don't pray. If we don't pray, that's what changed things. Well, let me give you some things real quick about prayer. First of all, prayer demands discipline. You got to be disciplined. And most of us, listen folks, the reason I know that a lot of us struggle with discipline is because a lot of times our lives and what we do depict that we're not very disciplined in some areas. And listen, if we're not disciplined in some of the most critical areas of life, we're probably not disciplined in our prayer life either. So discipline, prayer demands discipline. That word discipline is simply this. Listen very carefully. It just simply means bringing your flesh and your affections into subjection. In other words, what you do is you tell your flesh that I am setting some Bible standards and setting some Bible boundaries, and flesh, you will obey. Now, some of us say, well, if I talk to my flesh like that, he'll get mad at me. When are you going to take control of your life? You ever heard somebody say, get a life? I'm telling you, get a life. Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of your flesh. You say, well, I can't. Yes, you can. You can. Now, let me say a couple things about this. First of all, the Christian life is a disciplined life. Everybody figured that out yet? Yeah. The Christian life is a disciplined life. You have to, may I say to you, soul winning. You know what soul winning is? It's discipline. It's the discipline of being able to go out and tell people on a consistent basis about Jesus Christ. It's discipline. You know what prayer is? Discipline. You know what Bible reading is? It's discipline. You know what church attendance is? It's discipline. That's what the Christian life is all about. You say, well, where is everybody? Not very many people disciplined. I'm sorry. That's not very many people are disciplined to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. Now, all I'm saying to you, prayer demands discipline. Now, church, listen to me. Prayer is not natural. So you know what we got to do? We got to train ourselves. It's just not natural. Because you know what? This old flesh doesn't like it. And the thing about it is, you ever wondered, you know, here a baby's born. Brother and Mrs. Shindig brought their little baby into this world. You know what? They can pray with her, but I doubt very seriously Chelsea's prayed yet. Right? 6 months from now, you know what? Brother Shindig, I hate to tell you this, but she's not going to probably pray at 6 months either. Maybe not even a year until she starts talking, and then they'll start training her to pray. You know why? Because it's not natural. If it was natural, you know what? The baby would be born, instead of crying, he'd say the Lord's Prayer. It's just not natural. So all I'm saying to you is, since it's not natural, we have to train ourselves. Prayer must be consistent in order to be effective. Listen to me. I said prayer must be consistent in order to be effective. Now, folks, I wonder if all of us tonight bombarded heaven and got a hold of God about souls and said, Lord God, give the preacher just the right message for Sunday. Lord God, send people. Save people. I wonder if he'd say, boy, man, look at all those people down there wanting me to send people and get people here and want the power of God to come upon that place. You know what, guys? I think I'm going to do that. You know what I think God wants to do? He wants to shake this place. And let me tell you something, my dear friend. When God shakes a place, you know He shook it. And He wants to. You see, I'm just saying to you that prayer demands discipline. Prayer must be consistent in order to be effective. Let me give you a quick illustration. A lot of times I have problems with upper respiratory stuff and sinus problems, so I go to my doctor, and he gives me, normally when I go to my doctor, I diagnose myself. And I don't know why I pay them, but actually what I'm paying for is the prescription. That's kind of what I'm paying for. It's because I pretty much diagnose myself. But anyway, when I go there, he'll give me a Z-Pack. Now, you only got, I think, five in one of those Z-Packs. But here's what he always tell you. Make sure, Mr. Lassiter, that you take every single one of them. Now, here's what we do. We take an antibiotic. You know where I'm going, don't you? We take an antibiotic, and after about 3 or 4 days, we thought, man, I feel great. You know, fully on those other pills, and here's what we think. I'll save them so when I get sick again, I don't have to go to the doctor. And here's what happens. We feel good after 2 or 3 days, and you know what we'll do? We'll go about our regular routine, and before we know it, we're like, and then we start, oh, I can get back on that antibiotic. And we go take, and your body's going, antibiotic. I've already overcome that. And so here's what you have to do. You have to go back to the doctor and get a stronger one. Now, the reason that it wasn't effective is because you weren't consistent in taking it. Okay, in order for prayer to be effective, we're going to have to be consistent. We're going to have to be disciplined in order to do it. Okay, so if we're going to have the type of day that we want God to have and see God do something Sunday, we're going to have to be disciplined, folks, between now and Sunday to pray. I mean pray. Number two, prayer demands the absence of distractions. You ever notice every time you start to pray, it just seems like there's always distractions. Always. You say, I'm so tired of distractions. Well, listen to me, folks. Satan don't want you contacting God. He doesn't want you making contact with God. He doesn't want you talking to the Lord. He doesn't want people saved. So you know what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to distract a lot of us tonight from praying at all about Sunday. Because we get distracted. We get busy. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5, we're not going to turn there, but it talks about the relationship of a husband and wife, and the only reason they were to come apart is to give themselves to prayer. To give themselves. In other words, to literally give themselves wholly without distraction. You see, our mind has to be focused on the subject. You see, a lot of times I'm afraid, folks, that when we go into prayer, we're not focused on prayer. Here's what we do. We go into prayer thinking about, boy, you know what, Lord, I sure need to be doing a whole lot of other things. Boy, I sure could be doing a whole lot of other things tonight. Listen, we need to make sure that we frequent the prayer closet. You know what? That's a place where there's no distractions. Now, I don't know if you have that place. I've got that place. I love it. Because I can get in there, I can close the door, it's just me and the Lord, and I'm telling you, He speaks to me through His Word. I speak to Him through prayer. He speaks to me in the Spirit, and I'm telling you, it's a great time. You know what? And all of that happens when there's no distractions. But when there's distractions, it gets us off track. It gets us off track. So, listen to me. One of those distractions that seems to come upon all of us quite frequently when we pray is the Sandman. Anybody ever met the Sandman in your prayer closet? Yeah, he's there. You say, I know some of these teenagers, they're going, what's he talking about? I'm talking about going to sleep. Okay? Because here's what happens. You get on your knees, you say, oh, Lord God, and he goes. And next thing you know, you're out. And you know, about 30 minutes later, you wake up, amen. You thought, man, glory to God, did I have a good prayer time this morning. No, you didn't. You got a good nap. But we need to frequent the prayer closet. Listen, prayer demands discipline, but it also demands a place without distractions. Without distractions. Listen, if need be, you need to get instructions for no interruptions. Now, my 5-year-old granddaughter, I told you she gives me lots of illustrations. She has a room up in the up on the second floor of our home, and that room is dedicated to her, and we got it all fixed up and stuff. Well, before we did that, she told us, she said, Poppy, here's what I want to do. She said, when you get all my rooms set up, she said, I want a sign on my door. I said, what is a 5-year-old? You want a sign on your door? I said, Zoe, what sign do you want? And she said, no boys. Girls only. No boys. I thought, well, I can make you a little sign, something like that. You know, instructions, no interruptions. You see, often we pray, and when we pray, we're not giving God the attention He deserves. See, we're not giving ourselves to prayer as the Scripture instructs us to do. Now, to give yourself to prayer is total commitment,
without distraction, and without reservation. Okay, let me give you the last thing. Turn, if you would, to James 5. Okay? I'm going to give you these. You can study them out in your spare time. James chapter number 5. Okay, James 5, if you would, verse 13. Now, you'll recognize it when you get there. James 5:13 says this, is any among you afflicted? Let him what? Okay. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now listen to this. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, that's someone doing right, okay? The effectual fervent prayer of a person that's doing right, living for God, availeth how much? Much. Much. So I said prayer demands discipline. Prayer demands the absence of distractions, but also, church, prayer demands dedication. That's an act of consecration. That's giving oneself over to prayer. What I'm asking you to do is to give yourself to prayer this week. Give yourself to get a hold of God like you've never gotten a hold of God before. You say, well, preacher, how do I pray? That's what I'm going to give you real quick. Write these down, and I'll give you some verses, and you can look them up later. First of all, did you notice that James said in verse 15, and the prayer of what? Prayer of faith. He said, so when you pray, you need to pray the prayer of faith. That's exercising confidence in God. Can God save people Sunday? Can God give us our goal Sunday? Can God send people that we didn't even invite Sunday? Absolutely. How can He do that? When we get a hold of Him and say, Lord, listen, we've invited over 1,000 people to church, but listen, Lord, we realize some of them are going to get distracted. So for those who are going to get distracted, send us somebody that we didn't even invite. Have confidence in God. Listen, just have confidence in God to believe that He will do what's best. And then you know what we've got to do? Then we have to commit that cause into His hands. You know, when you go to John chapter 11, remember the resurrection of Lazarus? Prior to that resurrection, verse number 42, remember Jesus said, Lord, You've always heard me. Father, You have always heard me. Let me say something to you. You know what? If you're right with God, you know what the Scripture says God will do? He'll hear you. He'll hear you. So we need to pray the prayer of faith, believing, have confidence that God wants to have something accomplished in a big way Sunday. Number two, did you notice He said that it needs to be, verse number 16, it needs to be effectual prayer. That word effectual means it needs to be thorough. It needs to be in a manner to produce the desired effect. It needs to be efficient. May I say to you, it needs to be specific. Do we have a goal? We need to be specific. We want to see 100 people plus saved Sunday. You know what we do? Need to be specific. May I say to you, and you can go read, most of you know Jeremiah 33:3. You know what? In Jeremiah 33:3, you know what that verse is? It's a verse about prayer, but you know what it is? Specific. It's very specific about that verse. But the biggest word in that verse, most important word in that verse is the first word. If my people pray. If my people pray. I wonder how many of our folks will listen to this message tonight and leave and never pray one time about Sunday. There'll be some. Never pray one time. All I'm saying to you, you know what our prayer, it needs to be effectual. It needs to be thorough. It needs to be efficient. It needs to be specific. Number three, it needs to be fervent. Did you see there? He said the effectual, in other words, the thorough, the specific prayer, but also the fervent prayer. That means earnest. That means heartily. That means sincere. That means praying with energy and urgency, with zeal and excitement. Kind of like Jesus did in Luke 22 when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed as it were great drops of. Kind of sounds like fervent prayer to me, doesn't it to you? With some earnest to it. Listen, folks, people are dying going to hell. Some people that attend here Sunday may not ever see the light of day again. They may never see another day. It needs to be effectual prayer. It needs to be fervent prayer. It needs to be the prayer of faith, believing that we have confidence. God wants things to happen Sunday.
Write this down. It needs to be prayer with supplication. It needs to be prayer with supplication. That means to petition. That means to make a case for a positive answer. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You mean pray, make a case with God why people ought to come and be saved? Yeah, because if not, they're going to go to hell. Remember in Exodus 32, after the people of God made a golden calf? And did God say, well, bravo, wonderful people. I'm so proud of y'all. Now, you know what God said? He said, Moses, step aside. Step aside. I'm going to take these people out. I'm tired of them. Oh, they're stiff-necked. They're rebellious. And wait a minute. What did the man of God do? No, wait. Time out, Lord. Time out now. If you kill them, what are the Egyptians going to say? Go check me out. He said, what are people going to say? They're going to say, oh, their God brought them out here so he could kill them. That was his intent. You know what Moses did? Moses made a case before God. And you know what God, the scripture says, God repented. God changed. Why? Because Moses made a case of why God shouldn't kill them. You ever talk about praying with supplication, making a case why God ought to come down Sunday and shake this place and save souls? Listen, get a hold of God. May I say that there needs to be, for some of us that can, involved with prayer, fasting. Fasting. Mark chapter 9, verse 29, remember? The apostles were brought before them. A man brought their little son, his little boy, possessed of the devil. They tried to cast him out as before. They couldn't do it. Jesus shows up, cast him right out. They go in to eat. They said, Lord, let me ask you a question. He said, sure. I know what you're going to ask. You want to know why I could cast that boy, the devil, out of that? Maybe he did cast the boy out of the devil. But you want to know why how I cast that devil out of that boy, right? Well, yeah, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, because this kind. This type cometh forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. That fasting is abstinence, folks. That fasting means abstinence for the purpose of humbling oneself before God and mortifying the flesh, like the New Testament tells us to. Some of us need to fast. Listen, fasting controls the flesh, it opens the spirit, and it enhances the hearing. Okay? Opens the spirit up. Let me give you one last thing, and this is the benediction. You know what else needs to be involved in prayer? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Just an expression of gratitude to God, who we believe has a great desire to provide. It's the believer's benediction to prayer. Now let me rehearse real quick. Prayer is discipline. You've got to be disciplined. Folks, we've got to discipline ourselves to pray for Friend Day. Number two, it needs to be absent from distractions. You need to have a quiet place. That's the reason Jesus said, when you pray. By the way, he did expect us to. That's the reason he didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. Go enter into thy closet. Shut the door. Why? So no distractions. So it's just you and him. And then number three, prayer is going to have to be dedication. We're going to have to pray by faith and believe that God wants to do something great. It's going to have to be a prayer that's effectual, specific. It's going to have to be fervent, heartily, on purpose. It's going to have to be a prayer with supplication, making a case. And then number five, it's going to need to be prayer with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, church, the reason I preach this tonight is I don't know how you feel. I want God to do something great Sunday. Listen, I read all in the Bible. When you read in the Bible, do you ever burn in your soul when you see God doing something great here, he's doing something great there, and then you read in history how he did something great here and something great there? Listen, folks, why can't he do something great in 2011? He can. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And pray. We need to get involved and participating in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there might be someone here tonight that would say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I've been born again.